and welcome to Together in Christ, the radio ministry of Monroe Missionary Baptist Church. We would love to have you join us for worship today. Our Bible studies begin at 9 a.m. for all ages, followed by a service at 10:30 a.m., and then our evening discipleship service at 6:30 p.m. We are located at 14260 South Dixie Highway in Monroe, Michigan. Our phone number is 734-241-6860. You can also find more on our website, www.mmbconline.org. Here is a message from our senior pastor, Roy Sutherland.
Let me encourage you to grab your Bible, open with me to the epistle of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 is going to be our focal text this morning. A couple of weeks ago, we began the new year looking at the gospel and refocusing on the gospel, recentering on the gospel. There are many, many things that pastors have the privilege of preaching and sharing, and the Bible is full of many, many topics and has the answer to many of the needs of man. But primarily, the Bible has been given to us as a means for us knowing the truth about the love of God and being able to share that truth with a world that needs to hear the same truth, that we are sinners who are in need of a Savior and that God loves us in spite of our sin. We read Romans this morning, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In spite of our sin, God loves us and sent His Son so that one day we could be reunited with Him in His kingdom, with our sin being forgiven and our atonement fully paid for in Christ. Last week, we spent our time looking at the power of the gospel. We referred to Romans, how that Paul made it very clear that he was not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, that it is the power of God unto salvation. We looked at the power of the gospel, and we realized that if the gospel, guess what? If the gospel can reach me, it can reach anyone. If the gospel can save you, it can save anyone. Everyone can be reached with the power of the gospel. It is not limited by location. Just because Pastor Serban is from Guatemala and he's ministering in Guatemala, the gospel that we preach has the same power in Guatemala as it does here. And one of the things that troubles me, and you've heard me say this before, there are a lot of, quote, evangelists and, quote, TV preachers in our country who preach their own gospel, but their gospel won't preach in Guatemala, Pastor. It won't preach there. It won't preach in Africa. It won't preach in India. So they stay in the wealthy states of the United States and preach their own gospel for means that are not gospel-centered, but self-centered. But the gospel has the power to reach those that are lost. And so we are commissioned. We are given the assignment of taking the gospel. If you happen to pick up some notes this morning, they were at the Welcome Centers, both Welcome Centers. In those notes, to get us thinking, I printed this truth by Stephen Olford, and I want to share this before we even read verse 15 of 1 Peter chapter 3. Stephen Olford said this: we're living in a rapidly changing environment, and we would all say amen to that. Our world is changing, our country is changing, our state is changing, and yes, our community, Monroe, is changing. It is constantly changing. It is rapidly changing. However, some things will always be the same for the child of God. And this is the quote from Stephen Olford as he finished his comments. Our master is the same, amen? God is still the same. Our message is the same, and our mission is ever the same. We are to be involved in evangelistic disciple-making, reaching the people with the gospel, discipling them so that others will come to know the gospel through the multiplying disciples. And so this morning, I want us to concentrate not on the power of the gospel, but what is needed most, I think, for Roy is the presenter of the gospel. I want to revisit a text that in, I think, 2007 or something like that, way back there, that I shared from this verse. As we were looking then at presenting the gospel in a way that people could be receptive to the gospel. And I want us to think about the fact that our mission has not changed. It doesn't matter how the world becomes more and more defiant to the gospel or to Christianity. Now, let me take a moment and just live where you are and where I am today. I have never seen, I'm just going to take a personal reference before I read 1 Peter 3:15. I've never seen the United States of America like it is today when it comes to Christianity. This is just a personal observation. It is amazing to me how that people who really don't even know anything about the gospel hate the gospel of Jesus Christ. They hate it. They hate Christians. I don't understand why. I can't tell you why. But where any other religion can be revered and held up, mention the name of Jesus and Christianity, and we are infidels. We are intolerant. And there is a strong push against Christianity in America today. Now, here's the good news. It's not going to get any better. It's not going to get any better. And yet, the mandate and the mission that God has given us does not change. Now, that does not mean that I have some animosity toward those people or toward people who don't understand Christianity. As a matter of fact, it gives us a greater privilege, a greater opportunity to be able to stand for what we believe is the truth of the gospel, but we must do it in the right way, which is why I've turned to this text this morning, is that we might represent and present the gospel in a manner that is pleasing to the Lord, in a manner that honors Him, in a manner that people can be more receptive to. And so I want to look at 1 Peter 3:15 as Peter is writing. And by the way, it's interesting that this text, this book, this little epistle is being written to people who are being criticized and persecuted for the gospel. They're dying for the gospel because of the faith of the gospel. And because of that, they're under deep persecution because of their faith. And yet, they're standing with integrity and with honesty with the gospel and living for Christ. And Peter writes this to them. He says, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts," verse 15 of 1 Peter 3. "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man," not some men, "but give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and with fear." I want to look at this verse for just a little while this morning. I'm convinced we have nowhere really urgent that we have to go. But I still won't take a long time. Some of you are wondering when I said that, he's going to take a long time. No. But I do want to encourage you. This whole series that we're looking at is not to reprove, it's not to chastise for what we haven't been good at doing or doing right. It's to encourage us to do better when it comes to presenting the gospel, to sharing the gospel, to being committed to the gospel, evangelistic disciple making. So as a presenter of the gospel, there are some things that I need to be reminded of this morning. And I think these things have been lacking in so many of our lives, which is why it's been so difficult for the church, so difficult for Christianity to advance in America, is because we're lacking in some of these things. And this morning, I want to encourage you as I encourage myself in this. This verse reveals several things about the gospel presenter, those of us who are going to share the gospel with our families, with our friends, with our neighbors, with those we work with. And I just want to share some of those with you this morning. The first one is this, and it's in your notes. The gospel presenter, the presenter of the gospel, must be passionate about the Lord. We must be passionate. Folks, listen, we have no reason not to be passionate about who Christ is in our lives. I love the way Peter wrote this. He says, the first thing you have to recognize is this. You need to sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. What he's saying is this, you need to set the Lord up. That word sanctify means to set up, to put in position in your life the Lord Jesus first and foremost. He is what is most important. He is who is most important in your life. He says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Make sure that Christ is real to you so that the people around you can see that you're not just at church on Sundays. You know, a lot of people just go to church on Sunday because they feel like that's going to get them to heaven one day. Boy, are they going to be surprised one day when they hear those words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." Because we know that religion's not going to get us in heaven. Some people just go to be going. We are to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts. We're to personally experience Christ daily and personally express Him daily to the people in our lives. People, when they see Roy, ought to be able to know that there's something about me that has been changed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And my walk with Him ought to be growing daily. Now, there are many things that makes that happen. We need to be in the Word of God. We need to be praying. There are a lot of different things that I could talk about here. But my point is clear. We need to personally sanctify Christ in our hearts. He needs to be actively involved in our lives in such a way that we're growing passionately with Him. Our passion for Him is greater today than it was yesterday. Now, let me put us to shame. I'm going to start. I said us. How many of you have been saved more than 5 years? Raise your hands. Thank you. Put them down. How many of you have been saved more than 20 years? Raise your hands. 30, 40, 50. Some of y'all getting old. There's a remarkable thing about passion for Christ. And it shouldn't be this way, but we see it all the time. I love new Christians. I love being around new Christians. Here's why. They are passionate about Christ. They are passionate about Him. He has just changed their life. He has radically done something for them that no man could ever do. He's given them purpose where there was no purpose, hope where there was no hope. He's loved them when no one else seemed to have loved them. He has given them the hope of an eternity in heaven, and they don't care who you are, they are ready to talk to you about Him. Would you say amen? I mean, they'll talk to somebody that's been a Christian 40 years and want to know, are you sure you know Him? They are passionate about the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, take those same people who say they know Christ 40 years after conversion, and sadly, something seems to have happened. Something strange. We know Him, but we don't have the same passion. Can I encourage us this morning, before the world will ever hear the message that we're trying to present, we need to passionately be representing Christ, letting the world see that He is real to us. It's not just something that we're trying to do. No, our lives are everything to do with Jesus. Everything. We need to be passionate about the Lord Jesus Christ, who He is, how He has changed our lives, how He is working in our lives every day. You know, some people think just because they're saved, it's over with. No, no. He has saved you to give you hope, not just for eternity, but for today, and to give you help and to point you to other people who need that same message of hope. We need to be passionate about the Lord. Number two, the presenter of the gospel needs to be prepared. We need to be prepared to share. The writer Peter said this, be ready always. Be ready always to give an answer. Now, let me be very clear about being prepared. If you want not to share the gospel, if you want to be given a reason not to share the gospel, just think for a second that you have to have every answer. You will never share. He didn't say that we have an answer to everything. We have an answer to the hope that is in us. And the devil is great at this. He will put me in communication with someone, whether it be at a table, at a restaurant, or in a store, or working at a house, or whatever it is, and we start talking, and I find out they're a non-believer, and we begin to build a relationship, we start talking about the gospel, and they will ultimately always, listen, the devil is good at giving people hard questions. I mean tough questions. And they will often ask me a question that I don't have the answer to. It's okay to say, I don't know the answer to that. But here's what I do know. The answer to man's sin is Jesus. The answer to your eternity is Christ. The answer to hope is Christ. God doesn't expect us to have the answer to everything. Folks, listen, I don't know anything about global warming. But I've had Christian conversations, tried to share the gospel, and somebody asked me about global warming. Like I'm supposed to be a scientist. I'm not even sure I believe it's true, let alone do I have an answer for it. I don't know about some of the things that we are dealing with in this world today, but I do know this, and here's how I know this, not just because I read it in the book. I know this because there was a God who gave His Son for me, and that Son, Christ, has changed my life. He has erased my sin. He's made me pure in the presence of God today. When God looks at me, He sees Christ. He sees a child of His that is pure and holy and right. And I live free of guilt. I don't live with guilt in my life. I'm not fearful of dying one day and going to hell. I'm not fearful of even dying because of who Jesus is. I know the answer for the hope that is within me. And we need to be ready. We need to be prepared to give an answer to the hope that lies within us. We need to be prepared. And when I say prepared, I simply mean, and we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago, having our spiritual antennas up, having the spiritual radar turned on, so that when we're having those conversations, it gives us an opportunity to point people to Christ. That's being ready. Have you ever been shocked by something and not been ready? I mean, something happened, you're thinking, boy, I wished I'd been more ready for that. Not being attentive around you. Have you ever had an animal dart out in the road in front of you because you weren't paying attention? If you'd been more attentive? We need to have our spiritual radars on. We need to be attentive to the fact that God may be pointing us to someone today that we weren't expecting, but we're ready to give an answer. We're prepared. If God puts someone in our lives, we're prepared. I had a funeral again last evening. More and more people are doing evening services. That seems to be the trend. It's going to be the trend more. But I had a wonderful conversation with a young man. He pulled me aside before the service. And people, can I tell you, people are observant. They observe everything. Listen, don't think for a moment somebody's not observing your life. They're observing your life. I didn't know this young man. I don't know much about this young man. But he pulled me aside. He said, hey, I got a question. Come here. I got a question for you. He said, I noticed, I read the papers, you do a lot of funerals for Catholics. Now, how are you going to answer that? That was what he said to me. Can you tell me why that is? He said, I don't understand. I smiled and I said, I really don't know. I don't know the answer to that, but I do know this. God has given me a wonderful opportunity with families and people to love them and in a time of grief to share the hope of Christ with them. Now, I say that to say this. Had I not been attentive and had my spiritual radar open, and I don't know how I'll even ever see that young man again, or if I even will see him again. But one thing that I know is this. He knows that my hope is in Christ. My hope is in Christ and His hope. Listen, hey, newsflash. This needs to be broadcast everywhere. Being a Catholic is not going to get you to heaven. And being a Baptist is not going to keep you out of hell. Being a Lutheran is not going to do either one for you either. Or Church of Christ or Church of God. Religion will send you to hell. But the answer is this. There is a Savior whose name is Jesus, and He died for the world, and by faith in Him, you can be freed from your sin, cleansed, made a child of God, and on your way to heaven. That is the answer that people need to be hearing. And you know that, and I know that. We need to be more prepared, attentive, ready to share that message. This week, God's going to give you somebody. I believe that without a doubt. He's going to put somebody right in your path for you to be able to share the hope of the gospel with. First, we must be passionate about who Christ is in us, what He's done for us, what He's doing in us today. And then we need to be ready, prepared to share that. And then we need to be persuasive, He said. The reason of the hope that is in you. The gospel is good news. The gospel is the hope that we share. The gospel is Jesus. As Peter wrote this in the context of the scripture. Again, he is speaking to people, many who have already lost loved ones, many who would die for the gospel. And he's saying to them, listen, those of your family, those are going to be asking you, why are you willing to die for this? Let them know that this is meaningful. It's worth it. Be persuasive. Listen, I don't know what's going to happen in my life. I do not know. I do not know what tomorrow holds for our nation. I don't know what it holds for anybody, but I do know this. The Lord that I serve is a God, is a Lord who is given victory. And I'm not worried about tomorrow or the future. People need to know that we don't fret over things. Listen, God is God. He has this thing, folks. Listen, God has this in control. I need to be able to say to people, I don't know about what's going to happen in the world, but I do know this. One day we're all going to die. And one day we are going to spend eternity somewhere, and I want to know, where is that going to be for you? Some people say, well, I don't believe any of that. I don't believe any of that. Pastor Kenny and I were watching a show yesterday, a TV documentary, and about a particular person. And basically, they were saying, when you die, you die. And one person said this, and I appreciated it so much. They were talking about their loved one who had died and what they had tried to do in hope. Listen, it was sad, wasn't it, Kenny? It was sad. It was actually a documentary about Ted Williams, the baseball player. And his daughter said this, they froze his body. I don't know if you know that. His body's frozen somewhere. I don't know where it is. And she said, we're not religious people. We don't have any hope in any religion. Verbatim, what she said. So it may sound silly to some, but the only hope we have, and we're clinging to it, it sounds stupid, sounds silly. She didn't use the word stupid. It sounds foolish. But our only hope is that one day something will change and our dad will live again. I've got news for her. I will say this with any bitterness, that's not going to happen. Death has come. The only hope we have is this. And people need to know. Somebody, I pray God puts somebody in that lady's life that loves Jesus deeply, that cares about her soul, that can share the love of God with her and say, listen, your hope can't be in that. It can't be in science. It can't be in medicine. Listen, we've had science and medicine forever, and we'll continue to have science and medicine. People are going to keep dying. And when they die, behold, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. People will die and spend eternity somewhere if you believe the Word of God. And we must have an answer. We must persuade them. We don't have to convince them. Our persuasiveness is this. We really believe this, folks. Listen. I'm not telling you this because I believe this. I believe that if my brothers die without Christ, they're going to die and spend eternity away from God in the devil's hell. I'm persuaded of that. I'm persuaded that my neighbor needs Christ or else he will die and spend eternity in a devil's hell. I'm persuaded that the people that I eat with on a regular basis or see at a restaurant or play sports with, whatever you're doing, they're dying one day and spending eternity somewhere. And I need to be ready to give an answer for the hope. I need to be persuasive to them that I really believe what I believe and I'm coming to them because I care about their soul. I can't change their soul. You can't change their soul. You can't save them. Listen, no one's ever been saved by another man. It's only the God-man that can save. And we point them to the God-man who can save a soul. But we need to be more persuasive about that. We just give people this idea that, hey, it's really not that important to us anyway. We told you, now you do what you want to with it. No, we need to be persuaded enough that they see our brokenness. They see our heart. They see our concern for their soul. It's sad, but I would dare say most of us haven't cried a tear for a lost person in a long time. When's the last time you wept over a lost soul? When's the last time you couldn't think of anything except the lostness of a friend or family member? It was on your mind. You were persuaded that unless they come to Christ, there's no hope. That's what Peter's talking about. Persuaded that Christ is not an answer. He is the only answer. Not that they have a host of opportunities, but he's the only opportunity to spend eternity with God. Persuaded with the gospel. And we do that in only one way. We must present the gospel politely. The presenter of the gospel must be polite. I'm glad Peter said, with meekness and fear. That term meekness and fear literally means this. It means having respect toward man, but reverence before God. Respecting man enough that you don't come with arrogance because you're no different from them. Except Jesus. You would still be lost if it wasn't for Jesus. You couldn't save yourself. You couldn't even convict yourself. You can't even repent without the Spirit of God at work in your life. You can't even see the truth without God Himself removing the scales from your eyes. You can't hear the truth of the gospel through spiritual ears without the Spirit of God opening your ears. So there's no difference between me and any lost man except the fact that Christ has changed my life. And I want to go to them in such a way with meekness and fear that they know my concern for them. That means listening to their story, trying to understand why they believe what they believe, trying to figure out why does a person act the way they act, why have they done what they've done, why do they say what they say. Listening, being polite and understanding and respectful, sharing the gospel with meekness and fear, not with arrogance and self-righteousness. I know some people who've said to others, I've heard them before, well, listen, I've told you about Jesus. If you go to hell, it's your own fault. That's not what we're talking about. That's not meekness and fear. No, meekness and fear says, listen, I've shared the gospel with you, and I so long to see you come to know my Christ. I will be praying more for you. I will be available to you. I will be involved in your life. That's why a few weeks ago, I asked you to ask God to give you that one person that you're familiar with in your circle of influence of life, whether it be a family member or friend, that you will pray for with one reason: love, listen, share Jesus with the hopes of them coming to Christ this year. And then to be attentive to that one person that God will put in your life unsuspectingly that needs the gospel. The presenters of the gospel must be polite. I've had people say a lot of things to me when I've tried to talk to them about Jesus. I didn't tell them they were going to die and go to hell. I didn't tell them, oh, we've talked about that with them, but I'm not saying, I didn't look them in the eye and say, that's okay, then you go ahead and die and go to hell. That's okay. No, politely, with reverence, with meekness, with fear, I've thanked them for their time. I've reminded them that I would continue to pray. I've tried to tell them that even though we disagree, my prayer is that they will be attentive and let the Spirit of God still potentially work in their life. Don't worry about my words, but when the Spirit comes to reveal more truth, be attentive to that. The presenter of the gospel must be polite. And then lastly, you say, well, wait a minute, I only have four on my notes. Add this one, number five. The presenter of the gospel must be prayerful. Prayerful. You say, I don't see that on there. Well, to sanctify the Lord in our hearts, it begins with being sensitive to His Holy Spirit and in tune with the God that gave His Son for us. And nothing is ever going to be accomplished for the Lord without prayer. It's the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man that produces much. If you want your lost family member saved, I believe you're going to spend a lot of time praying for them. If you want your neighbor saved, you're going to spend a lot of time praying for them. Not just sharing, but praying. Finding yourself before the Father. Some of the most meaningful moments in my entire life, Pastor Tim, those who work with youth, was during my days with students. When I would see students so broken over a lost mama or lost daddy, crying out to the God of heaven for salvation for their parents at camps and retreats. And I thought, Lord, why aren't more adults broken like that? Broken in prayer. We need to be prayerful.
If this broadcast has affected your life today, or if you have any questions about anything that you have heard, please feel free to write us at info@mmbconline.org or like and comment on our Facebook page. This has been Together in Christ, the radio ministry of Monroe Missionary Baptist Church. Have a blessed day.